Okay, welcome to the class. Welcome to the math class. And as a by way of introduction, I'm Joe Beiler. Currently live in Fairland, Oklahoma with my wife and three children. My wife is sitting in the back and my little daughter looks like she should be sleeping. You tired, Tashi? All right. So anyway, good to be here with you. And very good to be in this math class. Wasn't something I dreamed of. Teaching a math class was not something I dreamed of to teachers. Now, I love teaching it to students, but not so much to teachers. So I'm going to approach this with a relatively open hand, like I told you this morning. If you have things in your classroom that you have that have posed a problem for you, something you would like to do better in and you would like to hear from other teachers, be thinking about that. Ask those questions before this class is over. I'll try to give an opportunity for that, and we won't expect to have answers for that today. We'll probably get into those answers tomorrow. So I kind of like to keep a bit of an open hand there. I was talking with Paul this morning a little bit, and I mentioned that students tend to think that math is not relevant to life. And I get how they, you know, there are things in school that they'll be like, oh, it's not relevant. And Paul said, "What? How? Why do they think math isn't relevant?" But remember, they're not in our shoes. They haven't spent money. They haven't lost money. They just don't know how math connects to regular life. So there's one math professor that I was reading about. He says that he actually plays the math game. And I thought we might start with that first of all. You say any word, and we'll talk about how math connects to it. Just as a little, maybe an icebreaker, but maybe something for you to be able to do with your students at home. So just any word. Can you come up with any word that you can think of? And we'll see if math connects to that word. Try it. Yes?
Ambidextrous.
Oh, there we go. Ambidextrous. Does math relate to that one? What do you think? Ambidextrous. So he said the favorite one that comes up in his class is ketchup. People just say ketchup. Does math relate to ketchup? Does it to ambidextrous? What do you think, Larry?
Well, ambidextrous involves two things, uh-huh. So right away then you have to differentiate.
Yeah. Multiples.
Two, yes.
Yeah, what's more than a multiple? Yeah, of course it does. Multiples. Does it to ketchup? How would math relate to ketchup?
Quantity.
Okay, quantity. On the hot dog. You're like, whoa, no more ketchup. It's getting expensive, right? And now it's getting expensive. And now dad is broke. So, yeah, there we go. All right. What else? Any other way that math relates to ketchup?
Has two syllables.
Okay, good. Two syllables. Now we're going to mix. What's that?
Times
57. We have a number. Two numbers. Good. What else?
The amount of ingredients, like there's.
Perfect. Multiple ingredients and the percentages and the ratios, if they get it wrong, we would taste that, right? We would, or if you like ketchup, you would taste that this is not good ketchup. This is not good mayo. This is not almost butter, right? Because they didn't get the ratios right, in your opinion. Okay. What else? Give us another word. Maybe two more words and we'll stop with that.
Eggs.
What?
Eggs.
Eggs. Any math in eggs? Can we come up with any math for eggs?
Three.
What was that? Oh, perfect. Never thought of that. So we even have division there. We have fractions. All right. What else? Anything else in eggs? What's that? A dozen of eggs. Right. Very good. They're often priced by the dozen, and we may only have so many eggs. And it, yeah, the list goes on and on. One more word.
Dig.
Dig. Dig. Ooh. You know what I think? First thing I think is 811. Right? Yeah, it's just like, that's what came to me. So we connect math and numbers to everything, just everything. You simply can't get away from it. So he also said he had one student come in, and he thought he was stumped one day when a student said love. Love. What do you think?
2 plus 2 equals 1.
2 plus 2 equals 1, okay.
1 plus 1 equals 1.
All right, what else? Anything else for love? So he said one of his students said, if you fall in love, and this was in a secular setting, the student said, if you fall in love, it gets expensive. And they thought math would tackle that. And then it went from there, and he just shut it down, is what the professor said. So, but it is true that we use math in everything, and we can connect math to virtually anything. So let's keep that in mind as we go into our classrooms this school term, this coming school term. Let's keep in mind that math is, in fact, very relevant whether they think it is or not. All right, why do we care about math and numbers? Do you have input for that? Why do we care about math? Paul, why do we care about math? You wondered how students could not think it matters or think it doesn't matter.
Math has everything to do. I mean, anything we do has math in it. You think about it. I mean, when I went to contractors licensing school, they told me that the thing that people have the most trouble passing is the math, and I was stunned. It was the easiest part of the test, but Yeah, math has, that's what we relate to in life.
Good.
We're figuring something. We have to know it to arrive at the proper answer.
I'll read a couple of statistics to you, and this isn't exactly current. It's current on, I think, Wikipedia or something, but they're, like, the information they were using was, I thought, relatively old. But anyway, they say the student debt, like I said this morning, is such a huge issue that 1 in 3 are delinquent on debt, and an astounding 1 in 5 are in default. That is student debt. And he attributes it to the fact that he feels like they think money isn't real. They treat money as though it's not real, and that's another completely different concept. But he said that they treat money as though it is an illusion, but it's an illusion that has very real consequences. Isn't that about the size of it? Has very real consequences, money does. And that's why we care about math, and that's why we care about whether or not we can figure. My dad always said that figures never lie. Can you finish it? But liars figure, right? Figures never lie. Liars figure. So if somebody's getting the best of you, they probably skewed the figures and they lied to you through the figures, but figures don't lie. All right, anything in our Anabaptist background that we want to talk about that math can speak to, that we want to be proficient in math for? Any input there? Are we going broke at the same rate? You know, I think we make our payments most of the time, but I'm not sure that we have a really good grasp of what money is really worth and how math really works. I'm not always sure that we do. There are some astounding things happening right in our own circles. And I look at it and I shake my head and I say, you know, that just doesn't make sense. And I don't mean that critically, but by the numbers, it just doesn't make sense. All right, how about approaching math from the standpoint, from the strictly logical standpoint? Just becoming a logician, just learning how to, and this is where your checkerboard comes in. Could you pick your checkerboard up, please? And if I would take dominoes and place a domino on 2 blocks, a black and a white, and go all the way around the board, would I be able to cover every square or not? And I think your square should be a traditional board, so it should work. And if you can see what I'm doing up here, I've gone down the first row, I'm going down the second. What should I do quickly to find out whether this is going to cover everything evenly or not?
Go across.
Go across, thank you. Great logic, and we use math for that. So we're going to go across. And yes or no, will the dominoes cover every spot?
Yes,
the dominoes will cover every spot. Now, let's remove, so if you want to use your pen and make an X across the white spots exactly diagonal from each other. So these two white spots, this one and this one, only those two white spots. Could you cross those out, please? Either make them black or put an X on them or some way that you know that they don't count anymore. All right? Now, could we still place the dominoes in any arrangement that would make so all the blocks are covered except for the two white ones? Shall we try? So we can do this, we can come around here. You want to think about it for a second before I keep going? I'm going to keep going here, actually. Does anybody want to guess?
Yes.
Yes, yes, because we, what? What's your logic there?
We took two away.
I took two away, and these cover two. Is this logic good, or is it flawed? What do y'all think? Is this logic good or is it flawed? And again, if you want to look at your own, so I keep going here, go down here.
It seems like it could be flawed because the pieces that are we need to cover are not connected.
Okay, so he's saying the pieces we need to cover are not connected. It could be flawed. What do you think? Is he right? Shall we just keep going? I actually don't have enough dominoes to do it. I borrowed the dominoes, brought the checkerboard, forgot the dominoes, borrowed these where we're staying. Do you see a problem? Can you see what's going on there? So here I have a series of three, but I might be able to, you think I can make it up somewhere? I could finish this, or I can stop right now with a little bit of logic. We know the answer. What is the answer, yes or no? I love when students disagree, by the way, then we can figure it out. Who all thinks yes? Who thinks we can cover everything and just leave the two whites? All right, good, two. Anybody say no? No, 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 good. A couple more for no, and a couple of you. Most of you are keeping your hands down safely. What do you think? Why do you think it's going to work?
Because you can turn the tiles.
Because you can turn the tiles.
And make it come out. And if it's that combination, does it work? Try a different combination.
Great. Why do you think it's going to work? Same logic?
Similar. There's still an even number of squares.
Still an even number of squares. So there were more people who had their hands up the other way. Gerald, did you have your hand up the other way? What do you think? No, you didn't. Oh, come on. Gilbert, what are you thinking? You're thinking deeply.
I can't think of a good reason to say either way.
How about this? Think of what each tile is covering. Think colors now. What is each tile covering? You're nodding your head. What's the problem here? What is each tile? Yes.
Yeah, each one's covering red and the black. So if you take out two whites, then you can't make it work.
Right? There's just no way. I can keep moving these and moving these and moving these, and I'm always going to have, what, two dots, like, eluding me. And I've tried this, by the way. I've done it at home. I thought, surely, because even numbers, and they won't get away. I mean, they do get away. I just cannot bring them together. There's no place to put the last tile. You end up with two, it's true. So the number was correct, but the color was a problem. So is this math? No, it's not really. But it is logic, and it is working with numbers. And this is what we want our students to be able to do, right? We want them to be able to look at something and logically say, oh, that was simple. All right, so we're going to have probably a little more logic in tomorrow's lesson as well. Now we're going to move on to, I should have given you this to start with. Where's my time? All right, I should have given you this to start with. But what I'd like to do now is spend the rest of the time talking about mental math and have a mini math class on mortgages and taking out mortgages. We'll finish this discussion about the math problem. And then that is homework. And I don't know if we'll have time to go over that before we discontinue this afternoon, but that's to take home. And I will try to read it to you. Remind me if I forget. I'll try to read it to you so you don't have to try to make out my sprawling handwriting. All right, so let's get started with mental math. How many of you teach, like drill mental math with your students at home? Okay, good. Good, good. Do you go beyond the facts, beyond like, you know, just the facts, up 1 to 12? You do? Okay, good. So and this is the book, let me bring this book up here, Secrets of Mental Math. I have buried myself in this book for hours over the last, I don't know, year or two, and found it very, very, very interesting, and still find myself going back to it to try to drill these things in. So I'm going to treat us a little bit like a classroom this afternoon, if you will. If you have pens, please grab them, and let's get started. And this is what I do with my students each morning before math class begins. We start with our mental math. That's just the first thing we do. It usually takes about 5 minutes or so. And we use the 11s, and I do a different class each, or a different group of numbers each day. But today I'll do the 11s to get us started. And let's just go through the logic of this thing. What's the answer to 11 times 11? Just say it.
121.
Okay, 121 times 11. All right, good. That's perfect. So this is where we want to go. You see, what's the logic here? Yes?
Are you talking about the first one or the second one?
What's the logic on the first one so they can get the second one, or so you can tell them?
The first number is the same as the original, the first one. Then add the two numbers together,
correct.
And then it ends with the one.
So what's the next answer?
The 1,331.
1,331. How did you get to 1,331? Everybody see it? So you use your ones on the end of 121. You go 1 plus 2 is 2 plus 1 for your two middle digits. And you have your answer. So let's stop here, and we'll do a couple of these. So we're going to do the 26 times 11. Somebody tell me what the answer is.
281.
I like this agreement, not that much.
271.
271? 286. All right, so I didn't teach this properly, right? I did not teach this properly. You must include the two digits of the number being multiplied by 11. That's not a good one because of the 11 being in there. I'll tell you how this one's done. You must include the 2 and the 6. All right? So the 2 and the 6 must be a factor. They are the first and the last. And then you add your two digits together. So yes, whoever said 286 was correct. The next one. And you should write that down. Could you write that down on your paper, please, number 1? 286. Go ahead. Who was that?
429.
Where are we? 391. Yes, 429. Very good. Oh, how did you get to 429?
3 plus 9 and add on 1 to the original number.
Good. We're writing the 9 down. We're adding the 3 and the 9 together. 2, putting the 1 over there, 429. And you may go down through and do those two, please, on your papers. And by the way, you're going to just exchange papers to check. Okay? Exchange papers of the first and next DUC, or compare papers. Not exchange, but compare. So write these answers down. You have a 286, a 429, and then go ahead and do the next two. You do need both numbers from your first number, except that this, sorry. So let's go through this one more time. We use the 9, right? And then when we add it, the 3 and the 9 together, that made 12. We use the 2 right here, carried the 1 over to the 3 and made it a 4. That's why. Get out of your way there. Sorry, I should have made that clearer. See when my students get frustrated with me? All right, so 41 times 11, got that.
And then if you care to, you may come to 321 times 11, and I think I just do one of those for you next. All done with the first row. Who all is done with the first row? Almost done. Give you a little bit of time. That's okay. Yes?
Why does this work like this?
Excellent question. So I was fooling with these numbers. Take a look at this. Probably if you would do like that, that's probably the clearest way to see it. Right?
Is it because we're using the next digit beyond
Correct.
Our base?
Correct.
So we're a base 10, so we're using
Correct.
The next digit beyond.
Yes. And do you see how they stack up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you keep doing that, you have to add each digit, each next digit to the other one and carry the leftover over if you're greater than 9. Yeah, if you're greater than 10. Or greater than 9, sorry. Greater than 9. Yes?
So the three-digit ones are really messing with my head.
Okay, so let's do the three-digit ones. So again, how about if we do like, I did the 321 purposely to start with so that we would use who asked why we have to have both numbers. We're going to go 3 and 1, so those have to both be in there, right? Now, if you go 2 plus 1 and 2 plus 3, you have your two digits. 2 plus 1 is 3. Yes, 3 and 5. Excellent. Your answer is 35, 31. Make sense? Had you needed to carry, as you're going to have to in this one, I'm going to write down the 7 and the 3, just like normal. 7 and 3. Now, 6 plus 3, you tell me?
9.
And 7 plus 6?
13.
Oops, so I have to put my 3 here and make that an 8. So 83, 93. Is that making sense?
Yeah, I think I'm getting it
out. And see if you can go down through the next two. This is why math was simple for you, right?
I was never taught that, so I'm kind of trailing way behind.
I figured you were way ahead of this.
No.
Okay. 989, same thing. Write down your 9s if you care to. 8 plus 9 is going to be 17. Take your 7 over to your other 17. Make that an 18. 8 over to the 1. Make that a 10. That makes sense. Doesn't make sense. Does it make sense, Michael? Okay. Let me do it one more time. So, Ernest, take a look at this one more time. So, we write down our two nines, okay?
And now you put an 8 in there. And
except that we're going 8 plus 9.
Okay, so we got 17.
17, thank you. There we go. 7. Carry the 1 over to that 9 and 8, which are 17 plus 1, which is, instead of writing an 18 down, we write the 8 down and carry the 1 to the 9.
1879.
Almost. It's 10,879. Got it. How many of you think this is quicker than a calculator? Much. Much. And your students will get used to this. If you drill this with them every morning, they will actually get used to this. This is much quicker than poking the calculator. In fact, we have this game that as soon as they can do it quicker mentally, then they can check it with their calculator. They may time themselves. So as soon as they can do it quicker mentally than their checking goes with their calculator, they're allowed to quit. Like they may skip the next morning in mental math. Because they were able to beat the calculator if they had the answers correct. All right. Look at each other's answers. Would you please? Just find somebody close to you and compare notes. If you have any incorrect, then pull your smartphones out.
Okay, I started at 41.
That's true. I went too fast. So if you got any wrong, grab your calculators and check, see who was right. That's always fun. My students love to do that. They are allowed to use the calculator and see who was right.
Thank you.
There it is. And see your first digit and your last. Okay, let's keep going. All good? Okay, thank you. So we put a larger one up here, to demonstrate what is happening. 3,543 times 11. 3,543 times 11. Notice how we have our first and our first and last digit, depending which way you're counting it. And this one's always going to stay the same. And this one will stay the same unless it gets moved up to the next digit due to bonds. Any questions on that? All right, so shall we try to keep going with this? I've done this before. This is really, really fun, too. We'll try to go maybe just a little bit slower, just so that we for sure know what's going on. So we bring the 1331, we bring down. You're welcome to do this on your paper, if you care to. Equals, and everybody can say what our first digit we write down is going to be. What's that?
One.
Thank you. The next one would simply be the 3 plus 1, so we'll write 4. Good. Next?
9.
6.
Good. 3 plus 3 is 6. And next?
4.
And last?
1.
Very good. We bring the 14, 641 down. It really gets interesting and fun. So, again, go ahead.
1.
Keep going.
5.
0.
1.
1.
Okay, where are we now? Hang on. What was that again? Let's do it again. So, 1, we all went 4 plus 1 for the 5, right? 6 plus 4 for the 10, put the 0 there. The 1 over with what?
With the 4.
With the 4 and the 1, right? So that should be a 6. Because weren't we at 4 plus, have we done 6? Oh, no, we haven't done the 6 plus 4 yet. I'm sorry. So 1, 5, 0, 1, yes. And then we had a 10 again, 1, we're carrying the 1 over that 1 and have a what?
2.
Correct. Very good. That doesn't seem correct to me. What did I miss here? Let's go over one more time.
We're missing also
1, 5, 0, 1. Oh, we're missing a 5. We did not do that 5, correct? We did not do this 1 plus 4. Our last 1 plus 4 is 5 we missed. Amen. Bring out the room here. So one more time, we have 1, 4 plus 1 is 5, 6 plus 4 is 10, we carry the 0 over to the other 6 plus 4, we have 11, we carry that 1 over to the 1 plus 4, which would have been a 5, and now a 6, and a 1. So 161051. I'm going to check out the calculator, somebody, make sure I'm correct. Got it? All good? Okay. So we'll do one more, then we're going to stop with this. 161051. Okay, go ahead. Read them off.
1, 6, 5, 1, 6, 7.
6 or 7 on that one?
1, 7.
1 more time. 1. Go ahead.
6, 5, 1, 7.
Good. I wasn't sure if I was hearing 2 sevens there or not, and then a 1 on the end. So we have 1, 7. 7, 5, 6, 1. That would help, right? Is this correct, Bill?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Okay, are we good with that for now? So we're going to quickly do just a little bit more mental math, and we're going to run out of time here. So let's do a little bit more mental math. Squaring by 5. And how many of you are familiar with squaring by 5 now? Is that more common? A little bit more common? All right, good. So 5 times 5 is going to be the 25, right?
We know that all these
answers will end with 25. So that's going to be 25 because we take the last two digits times 5, or times each other. And then you take this number times the next digit. So instead of going 3 times 3, you go 3 times 4, and you have 12. Your answer will simply be 1225, right?
So 1225. What is the next answer?
4 times 5 is 20, and we had a 25, so 2025, right?
It's
25. 25, and then we have to take the number times the next higher digit, which would be 4 times 5, so now we have a 20, so it's 2025.
Write it down. Check each other's papers. Any questions?
So we're going 5 times 5 is 25, and then 3 times the next, 3 times 4 instead of 3 times 3. 4 times 5 instead of 4 times 4. 6 times 7 instead of 6 times 6. 8 times 9 instead of 8 times 8. 1 times 2 instead of 1 times 1. You don't need your calculator.
I'll check it.
Check with your partner in a minute. Okay, as soon as you're done, you may check. Exchange papers or take a look at your partner's human chest. You still have a question?
I just checked one. I'll make sure I got
it. Yes.
Can you go over that one more time?
I absolutely could. So 5 times 5 is going to be 25.
Right.
You write the 25 down. You take the number, this number, times the next larger digit. So instead of going 3 times 3, you're going 3 times 4. Instead of going 4 times 4, you're going 4 times 5. And it will work out.
I never have the...
All right, human check. Human check. What should I do with that? 3 o'clock. Okay. Ready for the last one for today? It's very, very similar to the one we just did. Did you check? Who all checked? Okay, good. We have this concept, okay? If you keep using this concept, and you get used to using this concept, it, again, it's much, much faster than a calculator. Notice there are two things that have to be in place. The one is that it has to end with 5, right? And the other one is that these two numbers have to be identical, so it puts them in the same bracket, in the same category, tens. Take a look at this now. We're doing something very similar, and I purposely use the 3s, the 4s, the 6. And do you see what's going to happen here? We had this sum to what? What did this sum to? Sum. Good. Sum to 10. Here we're going to sum to 10 again. Instead of using 5s, 6 plus 4, 3 plus 7, 1 plus 9, and go down through. And you do a very similar process. Take your 6 times your 4, right? You have 24. And now, you want to guess what the rest of it is?
24.
12. Right? So you write a 12 down because the next higher digit was a 4, so 3 times 4 is 12.
12, 21.
No. 21. Almost. 4 times 5 is 20. So 20, 21. Right? 20, 21 on this one because the next higher digit is a 5 and you can go down through and do these. Got a little bit of carrying here when you get to your 8 or 9. Oh, no, you actually won't mind.
As long as they sum
to 10 and they're in the same, so we're in the 30s, the 40s, the 60s, the 80s. See, that's what's making this possible. So you see how we've just moved away from the 5. Here we were summing to 10 as well, but we were also squaring. We're no longer squaring, but we're still summing to 10. That's why it works.
So does it only work in the 30s, 40s, 60s, 80s? Could you throw up 50s?
Oh, sure. That was all random. Yeah, that was all random. You could throw anything in there. Any questions on this one? It's built on exactly the same concept. 6 times 4 is 24. See that? And 3 times the next higher digit is 12. 3 times 4 is 12.
What do you do with the third one? It's 1 times 9 is 9.
1, 2, 3, 1. Oh,
there.
I actually meant to do this, and I was afraid you'd think it's extra hard, so I didn't do that. What do we do here?
0, 9.
0, 9. Good. 0, 9. Because you have to have the place value. The value is 0. And now 6 times 7 is 42.
Do you use the next higher digit just because of carrying?
What was that again?
Do you use the next higher digit just because of carrying?
So yes, that is correct. But remember, no, not because of carrying from the 0, 9. See that? Because we didn't carry anything there.
Yeah, that's true.
You only use the next higher digit because it works. That's how math works. I'm sure there's a good mathematical answer for that question, but that is how I look at it. So I look at numbers as something that we're discovering. We're discovering how they work. They were in place. This is God and His beauty and His order, right? I just know that's how it works. All right? And I'd be really open to a better answer. Somebody has a better answer for that one. Better answer, yeah. Because that is literally the case. You're going to find this over and over and over again as you study numbers. All right, check. Did you check? Check each other. And we will move to our little math class about John and Sue next. Actually, before we do that, any questions? Because we'll probably review this just a little bit tomorrow. Is any of this, any concepts here that we haven't gotten? Feel free. Any questions? Is there something I could say that would make it more clear?
What do you have a thought for me here?
The story problem, not
perfect. Then we go to the story problem. The power of percentage and interest, that problem? Okay, so let's read it. John and Sue are newly married and flush with the excitement of starting life together. John runs a construction business and believes purchasing a man lift for his crew would increase productivity. The cost for a lightly used machine is $75,000. Meanwhile, they have purchased a fixer-upper as their starter home. The house needs renovations. The renovations sum to approximately $25,000 total for materials, and John and Sue plan to provide the needed labor in their spare time. They go to the bank and get approval for the $100,000 needed to pay for both projects. According to the amortization papers provided by the bank, John and Sue will be able to pay the money off in 15 years at an interest rate of 7%, with an $899 payment per month. John has been able to take home $4,000 per month for the last 3 years, and there appears to be no decline in his wages in the foreseeable future. Do you think, and you might underline that, do you think this is a good plan, or is there a better way? Oops, there is misspelled. Explain your answer.
Do you have a whole paragraph you read there that's not on our paper?
Uh-oh, you got the wrong paper?
What is this about his wages?
His wages are not.
Okay.
Did you reread that section?
You did get the wrong one. I'm sorry. So I gave the wrong one to Bing the copy, but that's okay. It's very similar. I think the numbers are all the same except for his wages. Doesn't have his wages on? His wages are $4,000. $4,000 for take-home pay. $4,000 a month is his take-home pay, and he doesn't, no change in the foreseeable future. Did that relate to your question?
Oh, I have a different question.
Go ahead.
Connected with the compounding interest, exactly. Or is that irrelevant to the story problem?
Keep going with your question. What's your thought?
The more often it's compounding, the more you're going to be getting in deep water.
Okay, so I'm going strictly off the amortization papers that you're getting back from the bank. He can pay this off, and I did the math on this. He can pay it off in 15 years, $100,000, with a payment of $898 and change. So I put $899 down. Do you have that figure, the $899? Okay. So is it a good idea or isn't it? And the do you think is in there intentionally. I do that to my students all the time because I want them to feel free to say what they think. There's a math teacher who said this way. He said that rule number five is that he says yes to his students, even if they give a wrong answer in math. He said, and I like his logic, he said that when you hear them give a wrong answer, you don't say, no, that's wrong. You say, yes, I hear what you're saying. He said they would much rather be disproved by their peers and let it kind of go before the jury than just be, knocked down by the teacher before their idea has ever. So what do you think here? Do you think it's a good idea or not? Isn't really a wrong answer because it's what you think. Unless you lie to us, you have the right answer. Is it a good idea or not? And don't be scared to say what you think about it based on what you think, even though the numbers might prove it wrong later, because that's what math is for. Math is to help us see if it's a wise decision or not. Yes?
Did you say his wage will not go up?
His wage will not go down in the foreseeable future. He should stay at $4,000 a month, take-home pay. I wish that would have been there for you before. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
All right, ideas?
It's very similar to my first loan that I ever made, and I was able to. It worked.
Okay. It worked.
And I think I've heard in the past that your house payment shouldn't be, and I can't remember if it was 25% or less of what your take home pay is.
Good. So.
And I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Okay, good. Yeah. House payment should be 25% or less. That is still, I think FHA goes 28% now, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's where they are. FHA is at 28%. That would be a government subsidized program. But I think they also say that you can have up to, 36% DTI. So debt to income ratio can go up to 36% for the rest of your, like let's say you have your car on payments and this, that, and the other, which, yeah, I hope you don't if you're mortgaging your house as well. But anyhow, they would go up to 36 on that. But yeah, strictly mortgage, they would say 28 is kind of the golden number. Any other ideas? So Paul's basically saying he thinks it would be okay. We all think it would be okay?
But renting that man lift is an option.
And renting the man lift is an option.
And it's $1,200 a week, give or take, right now.
Okay, good. Good.
And if he only needs it 15 weeks out of the year, he might be money ahead to wait until he can pay half of it off up front.
Okay. What do you think of that idea?
Right.
Thanks for the tip. But then that would be competition for Ernest. Is that what we're saying? Okay. So, and I knew this would come up. The extra income from the man lift could be factored in. But this is sort of like having a problem with weight and mass where we don't figure friction in, okay? So we're not going to figure in any type of income at all from the man left. This is just a simple loan question. Is there a better way? Could there be a better way? What do you think? So let me ask you this. For $900, how long do you think it would take to pay off, let's say, $25,000 with a $900 payment per month? Have you thought of that?
Two and a half years.
2.6.
Well, with interest.
2.6 with interest. That's correct. 2.6. I really need to show you something. Do you know what? So what's it? Are we done?
3 minutes.
Unbelievable. Okay. What's the simple interest formula?
PRT.
Do you know how to figure what a mortgage payment is over an extended period of time using the simple interest formula? Plus one fraction and one decimal? So go like this. You can write this on your papers.
Marker.
Okay, so
you have I equals P R T hat.
And that gets you really, really, really close. Can you see that? I equals P R T hat. So you take the principal times, so let's say $75,000, times the rate, times the time, and you could have cut any of those in one half, all right? And then you have what you are going to need to be paying in interest to add onto your principal again, divided by the months that you have to pay it off. And it gets you extremely close. In fact, it gets you, I actually found a multiplier that was really, 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 really fascinating. I'm afraid we're going to have to wait for that one until tomorrow, but I'm going to show you a multiplier that you can add to this yet that gets you like within a dollar without going to any amortization papers at all. And I went up to $90 million, a $90 million loan, using this times 0.9425. And it comes out every time, like right within just a very, very, very close figure, all the way up to a $90 million loan. All right, so turn the page. Let's fill this out quickly so you can be dismissed. Turn the page, and here's what we have. So, $100,000, 15 years, 7%. Total interest, $689.09. Do you have that? Okay. Well, we'll keep going here. That's fine. So, $61.79.09 is what he'll be paying in interest only with this payment of $898.83. Now, let's suppose he'd hold off on the man lift for that 2.6 years. What's that?
And rent.
He would, but he passed it to the customer. Remember, that's part of the friction not being figured in. This is just loans now. All right? In the $25,000 loan term, you can write in 2.6 for the years. And you are welcome to see these papers afterward. I really wanted to project them, but I don't have them on a projector. So 2.6. His payment amount, do you see how it's $20 less? I kept it just below. And the total interest he would have paid in that 2.6 years is $2,416.62, if you want to fill that in. We're on the second blank. Total interest under the 61,789.09 is $2,416.62. Okay, now it's paid for, right? All paid off. This is just 2.6 years into their marriage. Now he says, I'm going to the bank again and taking out a $75,000 loan, right? We get our man lift that I've been waiting for. Delayed gratification is not bad for any of us. And watch what happens. So $75,000, contrary to popular opinion, right? We think we can't wait. His payment this time is $895.94. His loan term is, you want to guess? Same, what do you think the loan term is going to be on this one? Yeah. Six?
Ten.
Any more? Ten? 9.6 with interest. Got to add interest in there. 9.6. So it takes 9.6 to pay this one off. Same interest rate. Monthly payment was just a little bit less than the original monthly payment. And now if you could quickly total the two interests, what are they? The two interests. Oh, did I not give you the interest? Second interest is $28,611.90.
$30,600-ish.
You hear that math? Half? Seriously. Less than half. Well, right about half. Just for fixing her house up. Right? First of all, we fix the wife's house up, wait 2.6 years, and buy the piece of equipment. Same investment, Same period, and less period of time, not much. I was a little surprised the time period wasn't a larger difference there. Do you see the small discrepancy between 15 years and, I mean, it's still a lot, but we're over 12. So we're between 12 and 15, okay? Now, I like to think this thing through one more time. We can't cut a man lift up into small investments, so we can't do this for the man lift. But suppose you take the 25,000 four times, 2.6 times 4. And what's the interest times 4? You can do that. You want to do that quickly? Write those down. Go ahead, Larry. 2.6 times 4. Who wants to do that one? Go ahead.
$10.4 million.
So this is all paid off in 10.4 years if you could do this same $100,000 investment, or loan rather, in small increments. So it's all paid off in 10.4 years. How much interest over those 10.4 years? So now we're taking, what was our number? We're taking 24,1662 times 4. What's our interest? We haven't even reached 10,000. Right? 96 or so? So to me, that's shocking. Yeah, ish. To me, that's shocking. That you, if with careful management, you can take, and with careful management of loans, you can cut off, what are we at? What percent is 9,600 of 61,000? Right? We could divide that. Isn't that shocking? Same numbers, just waiting a little bit for whatever you think you might need. And I think this is a big mistake that we're making in math. We're thinking that as long as we can swing the payment, then we're okay. And it's not that way at all. Now, I'd like to show one more thing, and then we're going to just go to that story. And I'm going to hold off for the rest of this formula until tomorrow. And I'd like to show you one more thing yet. And this I may just have to hold up for you. Let's see here. I'm going to use this one. So this is the front page of an amortization for a $75,000 loan. That's the front page of it. If you know what an amortization is, so it shows what you're going to be paying every month. It has the breakdown. The payment on this one is, let me see, what was the payment on this one? Oh, you know what? This one's by the year. Let me grab the annual. Here we go. So we have $25,000 loan. This is 25 instead of a 75. A $25,000 loan, and the payment was $878.74, just like we had in your paper. All right. Of that $878.74, only $732.91 is going to principal. The rest is interest. What most students don't realize is that if you would like to pay this off quicker, you can take this particular paper and take your principal. Am I pointing to the right spot? It looks right from here. So you can take your $878.74, month one, make that payment, and add to it only the principal from next month, and completely skip that $141.56 interest. That's called a double payment. Most students think to make a double payment, you have to double $878.74. It's not that way at all. You make original payment plus principal of next month, if you had a windfall, plus principal of next month, plus principal of next month. And the first thing you know, and I remember my wife and I doing this when we were young married, we would go down through and just cross out. I love doing that, or make a line through it every month that I would take off. And